Look for the oil stains when bank profits come out this week. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. We have entered the season when corporations publish profits and losses for the January to March stretch. Results from the big banks will start tumbling out tomorrow, and for some, the quarterly earnings will be slippery. Let's get an explanation from our Tuesday regular, Julie Niemann, analyst at Smith Moore & Company in St. Louis. Morning, Julie.
Morning, David.
We'll get a lot of headlines, especially tomorrow, as some of the bigger banks report their quarterly profits. And as we comb through those balance sheets, we'll see the signs of the oil bust in America?
Absolutely. Right now, you have all the major banks participated in loans with all of the others. Nobody took down a huge amount of risk individually, but the giant industry exposure is really impressive because now you have all the energy loans were based on the expected price of oil. And the price of oil has been plunging, dropping down in the mid-30s. Of course, we got a nice pump today on the perpetual hope that OPEC will actually get it together for this next meeting. But the price right now means that there's no economic sense to these energy loans. So you're going to see the banks pull the credit lines from the companies, and that pulls the plug on survival for most of them, especially the over-leveraged ones. So next in line, you're going to have not the boys who are the commercial lenders, but the bankruptcy boys doing all the workouts for it. That's the progression of all bad loans, and the banks are really going to get hit this time around.
All right. And in fact, OPEC meets to talk about a production freeze and other things this weekend. Julie Niemann at Smith Moore & Company in St. Louis. Thank you.
You bet.
Oil is up in anticipation of that meeting, $40.74 a barrel now. Money is not just money. It can also be an expression of racial discrimination. A new report suggests that racial bias may play a role in higher borrowing costs for historically black colleges and universities. The data show the cost to get, for instance, a $30 million bond is about $50,000 higher than for a predominantly white college with the same credit rating. From the Marketplace Education Desk at WYPR in Baltimore, Amy Scott reports.
Historically black colleges and universities, or HBCUs, pay 15 to 20% more to issue bonds than similar traditionally white schools. William Mayhew is an accounting professor at Duke and one of the report's authors. He says traders have to search harder to find buyers for those bonds, and not because of a higher risk of default. Researchers saw the same effect even when comparing bonds with AAA credit ratings insured by the same company.
That allows us to be pretty confident that we're able to take out the economic effects, and what's left is racism.
Sydney Evans is familiar with those higher costs, having served as chief financial officer of several historically black colleges.
HBCUs are already facing scarce resources. And if you don't have the capacity to borrow, you can't advance your institution.
Evans says that $50,000 difference in cost could pay for 10 scholarships. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Politico has a piece today about billionaires funding efforts to use the delegate count at the Republican convention this summer to stop Republican Donald Trump. Trump regards this as cheating. One tycoon who's spending in this way is the Minnesota media magnate Stanley Hubbard, who gave $10,000 to one fund focused on delegates. Hubbard told Politico, quote, "There's nothing unfair about it. He or she who can marshal the most forces and do the best job will get the nomination." Over the years, children's author Beverly Cleary has sold 90 million books. You know, Ramona, Ramona the Brave, Ramona the Pest. It's Mrs. Cleary's birthday. She turns 100 years old today. Back to that number, 90 million books. From Oregon Public Broadcasting, Allison Frost reports on Beverly Cleary Incorporated.
In this case, the numbers tell a story of their own. Three generations of readers in 14 languages and 20 countries. Her first book, Henry Huggins, was published in 1950. Her last book, Ramona's World, in 1999. That's almost a book a year, every year, for 50 years. David Ruther, retired editor-in-chief for Morrow Junior Books, was Cleary's editor for 16 years, starting in 1982. He says by far she was the best-selling author on the Morrow list at the time.
I think it's because what she's talking about is timeless. The books did change, but in some ways they didn't change. They were always about childhood, and those things don't really change.
That's what Danielle Clayton sees firsthand. She's both an author of young adult books herself and a middle school librarian at Harlem Village Academy in New York.
My students don't notice how there aren't the modern technologies put into the text. They get swept into her hijinks and into her character, and I think that's where she soars.
Beverly Cleary was born on a farm in Yamhill, Oregon, and grew up in Portland during the Great Depression. She set many of her stories on Klickitat Street. HarperCollins is toasting her 100th birthday with new editions of three of her most popular books. Beverly Cleary spoke to Oregon Public Broadcasting recently for the first ever documentary about her life, Discovering Beverly Cleary.
I write about ordinary American boys and girls who lived in the neighborhood in which I grew up.
Libraries all over the country are hosting birthday parties of their own, and school children are celebrating her on Drop Everything and Read Day. And she's been inundated with birthday cards and greetings from all over the world.
This is Beverly Cleary. I'm very happy to have my birthday remembered by so many people, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart.
In Portland, Oregon, I'm Allison Frost for Marketplace.
I'm still stuck on that number. Beverly Cleary has sold 90 million books and counting. That makes her the Mick Jagger, Charlie Watts, and Keith Richards of children's literature. The Rolling Stones have sold about the same number of records as Cleary has sold books. It also makes Mrs. Cleary way bigger than Beyonce, who's down at about 70 million. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.